And when I come to die, give me Jesus. We got to see that this week in the services of Leon Ray and Jackie Anderson. You know, that's the, I guess if there's anything that is a blessing to a pastor, it is knowing that those that you've had the privilege of ministering to as a shepherd, that they know Jesus. And so it's not a loss. Oh, it is for us here in this world, but what a gain. What a gain for them. I mean, here is heaven, and it's been waiting. It's been waiting patiently, waiting for the day that Jesus said, come on in. And what a blessing that is. I love that part. That if we're going to talk about anything, that's what we need to talk about when it comes down to the end of life. That God is there, you're not alone, and of all the people we surround, and speaking to Jackie the other day, or trying to, and I don't know if she could hear me, I don't know, but that didn't stop me from praying, but I know this, that she went in a very sweet way, in a very short period of time, because she had been suffering for a long time, just like Leon. But you know, it's always good to know that they want to hear the Word of God. They want to hear it read. They want to pray. They want to do all those things. So it's not a downer for me. It's a blessing. This morning, I want to talk about the end of life in this regard. Out of the Psalms, the 108th division of the Psalms, the statement is made that my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. And I want you to know, these are the words of a holy man. A holy man that in his youth, he chose God. He chose to follow after God. While he's out there tending to his father's sheep on a Judean hillside, he chose God. He chose God to let him direct his life. In fact, if there was an autobiography, I think this could have really be the final words or the final sentence in that autobiography. My heart's fixed. My heart is fixed on God. It's not fixed on anything else but that. You see, because God represented the entire world to him. You know, sometimes we like to box him in, but not to David. The whole world was God to him. And especially it was because that the children of Israel were the chosen ones. He was raised that way to know. Jesse did a great job in that regard. Probably his mom. We don't hear about his mom as much, but we know that. My heart is fixed. And I'm glad that the statement came from a holy man, because it could have come from some blasphemous atheist and made the very same statement at the end of life. My heart fixed. What's it fixed on? Hell. That's what it's fixed on. It's fixed on there is no God, there's none of these things. But no, this is someone that would say, yes, I was a great sinner. But David also was a great repenter. Is that a word? No, is that okay, man? Sometimes I make up words, you know, I can't help myself. You know, it could have been a swan song of a blasphemous person, because they set their heart against God. They fixed their heart on something that this world had. I know one thing, that in respect to common, what I call nominal Christians in churches all over the world today, they're never going to make that statement. They're never going to say, my heart is fixed, because they vacillate. They go with the crowd. They go to this, what is popular today, I'll follow after that. They're not going to say, my heart is fixed, because if you say that, you have to be determined. You have to know. It is a statement of what you're going to. My final destination is heaven. I am trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed me from my sins. My heart is fixed upon that. And this is what I'm going to do. Are you sure of your position? I hope everyone is here today, that you're sure of your position in Jesus Christ, that you have made that something, that my destination, I'm going to do it. And it's not something you say once or twice. It's not something you base it on one time way back when I was a kid, I did this and I made this statement and I was going to do that. What is it today? I'm not belittling a salvation experience as a child. If anything, I'm encouraging it. I'm encouraging it, but I'm encouraging it to live it out. To live it out all the days of your life, so when you get to the end of it, you can say, my heart is fixed. This was given to us by David when he was an older, wiser man, when he had lived a life, a long life, but he did it with such conviction and determination. No matter what was turning against him, no matter what Absalom was coming after him, no matter what anybody was doing, the Philistines, it didn't make any difference. He was fixed upon God. You see, that's what age does. I'm watching it. I look in the mirror every day. Age is a fixing agent. It is what it is. I mean, it establishes a person in the direction that they go. It either will establish you in your salvation or will confirm you in that you are in a lost condition and you're remaining in your sins. That's what it does. And the older we get, the more we are established in that. I don't know what it is about multiple years. It just comes to us. It's hard for me to watch people that vacillate and they're old. It really is. I'm not talking about they do the boogaloo or anything like that. I'm talking about the fact that they don't know. Because age is a crystallization of everything that we talk about. That's our character. It's who we are. And we need to know that this is what God is going to do. And this is, I'm putting my trust and faith in Him. You see, that is the rigidity of conduct, if you will, in our lives today. And what does it do for me? Well, it gives me my philosophy. It is what it makes me who I am. You know, we were talking about the other day, and Terrence was talking about the time that he wanted to go, maybe in the future, work on his doctorate. And I said, just make sure that's what God wants you to do. He said, well, why wouldn't God want me to do that? Well, because He didn't want me to finish that. He wanted me to go back. He wanted me to go to seminary. He wanted me to change the directions that I was to go. Everything's done, but, you know, that's just one of those things. Where is your soul headed? What is your most important thing? What is your God? Who is your God? Is it an idol? Or is it something that you can stand and say, God's my idol, and I will worship only at His feet? 50 years ago, we were living in Hewitt on First Street, and in a little blue house that we had set back there behind another house there, the Weatherbys, our landlord and landlady. They were great people. Well, my cousin Michael, he had this, I guess it was a horticulture class that he was taking at Midway. And one of the things that they wanted him to do was that they gave me options, and one was to plant trees. So we went back in the backyard behind this little house, and Mother bought trees, and we went out there and planted trees. And they were just little things. They were seedless cottonwoods. Well, cottonwoods grow pretty quick. The only problem was we probably didn't realize how much the wind blew in Texas at the time. We'd been there I've been there a couple of years at that point. But, you know, if when the wind keeps blowing, what was straight starts going. And this one tree, we got this one cottonwood in it, and it just, you know, it started better. So we're pulling it back and we're straightening it up. So now today, that cottonwood's big. I mean, it's big. Big around. 50 years, it's big. But it goes up like this. It goes, eww. I sit there going, well, but it was the wind. It was that south wind that kept blowing. And it was wonderful. You know, we enjoyed the south wind, especially when it was 100 degrees. We needed something to go with it. But it's just like our lives. In the early years of life, when you're young, you're very impressionable. You want to stand up straight, but the world begins to pull, and you begin to bend towards it. Not only you're impressionable, but you're sensitive, and you're very susceptible. And people don't realize that, but kids are very susceptible. In fact, I think it's extending on into their 20s and 30s nowadays. They're so susceptible, they're liable to do anything. Everybody, it contains a will. You have a will. And if the wind is blowing in a certain direction, sometimes that will wants to go that direction. It depends on what will you're going to pay attention to. The one that God has placed with you. That's why I am so in favor of young people finding Jesus Christ as young as they possibly can, with an understanding. Because that will determine life. It would determine your destiny. I have friends that had twins. And both of them had equal opportunity, raised in the same family. Everything was just alike. I mean, they were identical. One followed after God and went this way. The other began vacillating. Same opportunity, same everything, but because the wind was blowing and his will, his choice, was to go after the things of riches, after business. And I'm not criticizing business, not criticizing any of those things. I'm just simply saying the direction that he went really cemented the very things that he was to do. And if you know anything about cement in Texas summer, it gets hard quick. And it's worse than granite, if you ask me. But he chose the direction that he was going to go. And that's what he lived out. Great businessman. Made plenty of money, beautiful homes, all the things that went along with it. But he didn't have the very thing that he needed. How many of you remember the stories in the Old Testament? People say, well, we don't need to pay attention. Yeah, you do. You need to pay attention to that because it is giving us a background, a foundation to work from. There was a young man by the name of Daniel. Remember Daniel's life? He was that young man that he remembered, the Bible says he remembered his Creator in the days of his youth. He followed after him. He set his mind on things above. That's what he was always to do. He purposed in his heart that he was going to follow after. Nothing in this world was going to defile that very ambitions that he had. The things this world didn't mean anything to. Yes, he was taken into captivity. Yes, he was offered everything. But what was his reply? Please, let us do this. Let us honor our God and see if we don't come out better. And they did. Daniel was that kind of person. And at the end of his life, what could he say? I didn't compromise. I never compromised. I stayed with God. And where did he end up? Number two in the nation. The one that followed after him. He could have had enmity against God, like so many do today. He could have had that because God allowed him to be in this part. But his strength was after godliness. He enjoyed the very fact. He said, nothing will overpower the God that I worship. And because of that, I'm able to stand. And he stood strong and he never came. Every stumbling block that came his way, and I promise you, there were plenty of stumbling blocks. It was kind of like Joseph. There was lots of stumbling blocks that were taking place in a young age that he had. But he used those as stepping stones. He stepped right up and they recognized, at least the king recognized everything that he did. He said, I got to have this guy because this guy honors his God, does not ever vacillate on it. So he kept climbing. He climbed to the heights of greatness in a wicked land. He climbed to the heights that people had to pay attention to. What happened to him? Well, you know, didn't make any difference if there was a dark dungeon. Didn't make any difference if there was a lion's den. That made no difference at all. He said, no matter what happens to me, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to pray just like I said. That beat every desire to change and to go the other way. It'd have been easy if they're going, lions. I've seen those guys are from Detroit. They couldn't beat anybody. Except for cowboys. Yeah. Okay. What was his desire? Daniel's desire was to do the perfect will of God. But he set his heart to it. You know, God will even illuminate the eyes when they get weak. When old age comes on us and our physical bodies are going down and we're not at what we used to be. We don't hear as well, can't speak as well. It's just the way that it is. Yes, I know one day when I came here, I had brown hair. I know that. Okay, I don't have it anymore. But I know this. My heart is set upon him. I'm looking like Daniel looked as he got older, and his eyes were just as clear and bright for the future that God was going to bring. There was never a change in that right there. For 1,000 years, he would prophesy and say, this is the ultimate. One day it's coming, and it will take place. Can you imagine if you die in the future? Don't do it anytime soon. I'm very busy. I don't have time for all that stuff, okay? What would be the epitaph they put on your tombstone if you had one? What would be that epitaph right there? It wouldn't make any difference between Daniel or David or Joseph or any one of those. They were God-fearing people. I think they would put, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. There was a second child that I thought about as I grew up and I watched. His choice was that different path. His choice was just what I said, following after the riches, following after position, following after fame. It was a sad when you met them later in life and many years after they had grown up. What was identical wasn't identical any longer. What was true was just different. Why? Because one had eternal values. One had locked himself in. The other one locked himself in on the glittery temporaries. He locked himself in on things that he followed the lower road. He didn't go for the high road of Christ. He followed the lower road. He followed after sin for a season. And he got just exactly what he wanted. He got sin for a season. But I think that the more that he grew, the older he got, he realized that every time that each gift cost a lot more. It took away from his heart a little character. It took out of his life a little weakening of the conscience where he could make deals and make transactions, but they were costing him greatly from what he knew as a child, from what he was as a child. With every wicked bargain that he made, it just had a great effect upon his soul. It changed his personality. His heart was scarred. That's the only way I could look at it. His conscience had been seared. And those are things that you can't get away from. All the years of accumulations, all the things that he had, and he had a lot of things, it was great. But the accumulation set his heart in a direction that was away from God. That once pliable heart, that once that would turn towards what God had, became petrified, basically, in one direction. And you know something, I think after a while, God looks upon people, especially when we get a little older, especially when we get old, when we think, oh, I'll make a decision for God someday. I think that the Spirit of God gets grieved. I think there are times in people's lives that he's so grieved that he walks away and he leaves you to it. He leaves you to yourself to see how the end of your life will come. And unfortunately, if he leaves it to you, what hope do you have? You have no hope. There is nothing there. Why? Because like so many I've seen, they're just past feeling. They're past feeling the Spirit of God speaking and wooing and talking to their hearts. They don't hear their conscience any longer. Because as Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew in the 6th chapter, he said, for where your heart is, there shall your treasure be also. And it's there. Where is your heart? Is it set upon Christ? Is it set upon what it should be? I mean, without the slightest qualm, you need to follow after everything that God has said. I love the song we sang because I thought that was a powerful way to introduce today's message. Kids pick it. I didn't pick it. I didn't know anything about it, but I know the truth of that song. I know the truth of what God is, who he is, and what he's going to do. So at the end of life, and I'm getting closer every day, I get a little bit closer. Some will end life with bloody hands. Some will end life with those hands that killed off innocents. Some will have a life like that. And they will not even want to look over their shoulder. They won't want to look back because they'll look at the blot that they put upon human history. And they won't dare do that. They don't want to see those kind of things. In fact, I really think that the world would have been better off if they'd never been born. That's what I think. And that's what I believe that has happened. That's a terrible thing to say, but I think those that don't know Christ look back and they're haggard. They're fearful. Oh, they might be defiant, but one day they'll stand in front of a holy God. And that person will die in the night, and they will go to a place that's much darker than they ever dreamed possible. And it's a sad situation, but it is what God said would happen. They will go to a place, where the Bible says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched because of their choice. Now, what could be the name? Could be a Herod. Could have been a Pilate. Could have been Judas. Could have been. Could have been Hitler. All of them went to their grave with bloody hands. They went with the very things that they chose. But if they had started early and made a choice for Christ, if they had started at the very small child, listening to the stories being read, I praise God for Margaret's life, and every night the Bible story is read to Lily. Could you imagine what she could be if without Bible stories? I love her. She's a sweetheart. She really is, but she's too much like her grandfather, that's for sure. But for those that don't know him, it's a shame. But their heart is fixed on something else. Their heart is fixed on what they can do. You see, it's not what man decides to do. We become creatures of a will. Unless that will is surrendered to God, I know this, that one time when you're young, you could command that will. But when you get older, you're a slave to your will. And that's a sad thing to say. In the formative years, we're stronger. I think we certainly are. But in the years of maturity, we've already begun to set our feet and plant them on the direction that we were going to go. Whether you're going to think you're the master of the will or whether you're going to be a slave. Am I saying that God can't change you? No, I'm saying God can. But it's very rare. I've not seen very many at an elderly ever come to Christ. I think of one today that did, and I watched him crawl up those steps back there to be baptized. But it took a long time, and he was crusty. But he found Jesus. But when you're young, choose him. Choose him. Follow after him. Let that be the very change that you need in life. That's exactly what David did. He chose God. He chose Jesus Christ, even though he had not seen him. Even though that he did not recognize it yet. But when he faced life, he faced it with such powerful passion to serve his Lord. Did he mess up in life? Yeah, he messed up. Everybody knows that. But there's a big difference between a Pharaoh that hardened his own heart and a God that softens the heart and makes it pliable and makes it work. You know, Pharaoh ended bitterly, but then there's an Apostle Paul that was Saul. And look at his life. He became one of the greatest because he came to know him. He came to know him. And he came and made the statement, none of these things ever move me. I'm sure that Paul, when he was getting ready to be martyred, was going to say that very thing. You can say anything you want me to do or say, nope, I'm going to stick with what I have. So that's my question. And it's a question that I think every one of us, what's your heart set on? Is my heart fixed? Is it fixed for God? It's the difference in early choices. It's in the choices that we have. We're doing Amos in my Sunday school class, and I think about that all the time when the choices that are made as the light comes, realizing that Israel was going to be punished even more. Why? They were God's children, and they had all the light. My friends, you have light. Not too many people can escape light in Central Texas. The light has come, it shines, but we make our choices. And sometimes those choices are devastating. So, we're not creatures of chance. We're creatures of choice. And what choice have you made? Heaven and hell. It's as simple as that. It's just straightforward. Choose the years to seal heaven. Choose the time. Do it now. My heart is fixed. It is fixed upon Jesus. Let's pray.